So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text today is the gospel reading that I just read from Mark chapter 5. Now, this is one of those parts of the Bible that is really two stories. The raising of the daughter of Jairus. By the way, one of only three resurrections that Jesus performs in the gospel, the other being Lazarus, and the widow of Nain's son. And the other story is the healing of a woman who had a bleeding issue for 12 years. Now, I will just say that normally we preachers go for the more dramatic, you know, raising from the dead. And it's got so many great details in that story. We've got the drama of Jesus getting there too late. We have the professional mournings who go from mourning, and it's always struck me as odd that they start laughing in the middle of mourning when Jesus said, oh no, she's not dead, she's only asleep. We get to hear Jesus speak in Aramaic, Talitha Kum, and there's that little detail at the end where Jesus says, oh, by the way, get her something to eat. She's probably hungry by now. And that wonderful phrase, don't be afraid, just believe. It's a great text, but as you can tell, I could say a lot about that. But I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I'm going to talk about the other story within this story. And that is, to me, just as dramatic and just as meaningful. It's about the woman who had this 12-year problem of an issue of blood. We're not sure what it was. Now, I don't know about you, but I've known a lot of people with chronic illnesses, you know? Things that last and last and last. Back pain, diabetes, depression, cancer that, you know, goes into remission and comes back. And that's just physical. There are also a lot of family and relationship problems, you know? Maybe an addicted child, an alcoholic spouse, a family argument where, you know, there is estrangement. And people aren't together anymore. And add to that, some people have chronic issues with their jobs or their emotions. I mean, the list is nearly endless. And sometimes people manage better than others. You know, for some people, they, you know, take their medicine. They follow, you know, what the doctor says to do. They learn to adapt to a physical problem. They come to terms with family issues. But I think deep down, all of us who have chronic stuff going on, we long for a healing that is permanent and lasting and ongoing. Because really what happens is we can become slaves to those issues and their consequences. They begin to define our lives. So the woman in our text was 12 years a slave to her particular ailment and its consequences. Now, I'm sure there was physical pain involved with that, which was bad enough. But there was also emotional pain. Under Jewish law, any woman who bled in any way was unclean for 7 days until the bleeding stopped. And this meant you had to isolate yourself. You guys remember a few years ago when COVID had us isolated? You know, if you came down with it, well, you had to be isolated for this many days. Well, imagine that for this woman, but imagine it being basically permanent. She was always bleeding for 12 years. So that meant that she not only had to deal with that physical ailment, but she couldn't be with people. She would make them unclean. And I don't know, I can't even imagine the loneliness that she must have gone through. There was also economic hardship. Now, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but my guess is that she was perhaps a rich widow, and she could afford private doctors. No health plan back in Jesus' day. And like people sometimes today, she went bankrupt, trying to get better, trying all these doctors and their cures, but we are told it only got worse. And again, you and I have heard stories like that of people who have tried all kinds of treatments and doctors and doesn't get better, gets worse. So she was desperate. And she heard that Jesus was in town. She heard that he was a powerful healer. And grasping at straws, she decided on a plan of action. If I just touch his garment, the hem of his robe, I'll get healed. Now, it almost seems like magical thinking, like people that are going to some charlatan or spending money on some magic elixir or whatever. But this was her course of action. She did it, and lo and behold, it worked. She was totally healed. Jesus wanted to see her. In one of those human touches we get of our Savior, he looks around and says, who touched me? Now, the disciples were impatient, as they often were. So you remember the time children were coming up to see Jesus, and the disciples says, no, he hasn't got time for kids. And Jesus had to say, let them come. The kingdom is made up of these. There may have been a time where the Syrophoenician woman was calling after them, and the disciples said, send her away, and Jesus didn't. So it's pretty common for the disciples to act like this. So they said, Jesus, come on. There's throngs of people. How are you going to decide who touched you? What's with all that? I think they felt also, Jesus, you're on your way to a very important thing. Or this important guy, this synagogue ruler, whose daughter is sick. Don't waste your time, looking around to see who this person was who touched you. But the woman, to her credit, reveals herself and tells Jesus the whole truth. It's interesting to me that word truth, the whole truth, is in there. Because later on, tradition, not the Bible, gives this woman a name. And they call her Veronica. Again, not in the Bible. But the word Veronica, the word vero, the first part of it, means true. So she was a true icon, a true image. She was a truth teller. And even though she was afraid, and I don't know why she was afraid. Maybe she was afraid Jesus was going to scold her or whatever like that. But she turned and said, it was me, Jesus. This is what happened. All Jesus wanted to do was affirm her for her faith and said, your faith has made you well and whole and brought you peace. You see, it was the grasp of faith and not the grasp of his robe that healed her. And now she was free. No longer a slave to her illness, no longer an outcast, no longer a slave to all those problems she had. And by the way, the word for heal in this text is also the same word that the Bible uses for save in the New Testament. So the healing meant wholeness for every part of her life. She was healed and saved. Now, I don't know what chronic pain, discomfort, or problem that you may be dealing with. I don't know if it's 12 years or 20 years or no years at all. But all of us, I think, long for Jesus to bring healing and saving to us. And we pray that way. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus may not always answer our prayers in the way we expect him to. I have known that sometimes people get prayed for, and boom, they get healed immediately. I heard a story like that today, talking to one of your church members who talked about a person they had prayed for and who just kind of amazingly got better all of a sudden. Jesus does that sometimes. God always hears our prayer. God always answers it. He always heals, but sometimes the healing is immediate. Sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it may be ultimate. You know, it'll take us to be with him and see his face in heaven. And often it'll be a healing that we don't expect. But healing and freedom from being 12 years a slave, however long, the healing may take different forms. It may be God changes our heart about an estranged loved one, even though reconciliation may never happen. It may be a change of mind about a condition where God changes us from complaint and blame to acceptance, and maybe even asking the question, God, what are you trying to teach me in this trial or trouble? It may be that we learn perseverance or empathy or compassion or patience from a situation like this. I don't know. But God always answers our prayers and provides some healing. And this woman, let's call her Veronica, takes her place besides many in the Bible who have shown their faith. I think especially since this is a woman, of some women in the Bible. I mean, I think of Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and learned from him. Her sister, Martha, who confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." That Syrophoenician woman who received the crumbs from Jesus' table. And I think of Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons were cast out and who was the first witness of the resurrected Christ. All of them found healing and salvation in their faith. And the Holy Spirit gives us such faith too, to trust in Jesus for the healing that he chooses for us. It may be the healing of salvation we all receive from touching him. And today we have the sacrament where we receive with our hands and our mouth the real presence of Jesus, giving forgiveness, life, and salvation to us, the conquering of sin, death, and the devil in our lives. There's one last little detail of this story of the woman with the issue of blood. And that is that Jesus calls her daughter. You know, there's another daughter in this text, the daughter of Jairus, a 12-year-old young girl. But Jesus singles out this woman as part of God's family. He calls her daughter. No longer outcast, no longer unclean, no longer afraid, no longer a slave. She is a beloved daughter. And so are we. Beloved daughters and sons of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and brothers and sisters to each other, saved by grace, inheritors of life. May God grant his healing and saving to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.